Well, if you have your Bible and you want to share the reading of the Word with me this morning, turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to read beginning with verse number 23. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23, and we're going to read down through the 26th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he writes and he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the same night that Jesus, in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. And he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, he said, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes." And I want to stop reading right there this morning, ask you to bow your heads and pray with us here this morning. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to have the opportunity to be here in the house of God. We are thankful this morning, Lord, for these that have been able to come and gather with us here today. We're grateful that your Holy Spirit is present with us. I ask this morning, Heavenly Father, that as we read your word and as we open our hearts to receive what I feel you have laid upon my heart, I pray today, God, that you would just simply have your way. I ask that the anointing of your Holy Spirit would give us utterance and liberty and cause us to speak those things that you would have us to say here this morning. I pray today above all things, Lord, that everything that is said and everything that is done would be done to glorify Jesus and to edify the listener. And for these things, we will be eternally grateful and we will be eternally thankful. And we ask all of these things in his name. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. So our time here this morning, for me anyway, is going to be a very, very special moment or a very special time. I want to title the message that the Lord has laid upon my heart, Come to the Table. And we are going to be receiving communion this morning. And as a partaker of communion of the Lord's Supper, for me, it is one of the most highest honors and one of the most highest privileges as a child of God. I've taken communion in different churches throughout the country as I have traveled in my tenure as an evangelist for over 22 years. I've seen communion taken in many different ways. I've taken communion in different situations and under different circumstances down through the years. I've taken communion at wedding celebrations, at funerals, in nursing homes, in hospital rooms, in every kind of situation, every kind of circumstance you might think of, I have taken communion. But no matter where I am or what circumstance that surrounds me, receiving the Lord's Supper, receiving the communion has always been of great significance and a very cherished time in the Lord. And there may be some, even maybe here in our congregation this morning, that wonder what is the modern significance of taking the Lord's Supper. After all, isn't it just more of a religious ritual? Or after all, isn't it just more of a religious service? I want you to understand this morning that for some, indeed, maybe it has become just another religious ritual. But I want you to know this morning that as we are partakers of the Lord's Supper, it is much more than just a religious rite or a religious ritual or a religious tradition or an act of religious service. It is true this morning that we are not going to be serving anything special as far as the substance of the meal this morning. It is just a wafer of unleavened bread, and if we're being honest, it don't taste that great. And it is just grape juice, right? I mean, it is just a small wafer of unleavened. It's not like we're going to break out the prime rib and the lobster here in a little bit and have a feast. It's just a little wafer of bread and a little grape juice. But it's not the substance of the meal that is served. It is what that little meal or that little substance represents that is so wonderful and so cherished in my heart. It is what it represents that makes it so valuable and makes it so precious to my life. And with that in mind this morning, I would like for us just to take a little closer look at what communion really means and what it means when we come to be a partaker at the table of the Lord. The first thing that I would like to point out to you concerning the Lord's Supper is that it is an opportunity for us to remember Jesus. It is a place of memorial. It is a place of reflection. It is a place and an opportunity for us to remember the Son of God. When Jesus sat at the table with his disciples at the Last Supper, the Bible says that he gave thanks unto God, and then he gave to the disciples the broken bread and the cup. And twice, on two different occasions, he says to them, "This do ye in remembrance of me." Amen. As oft as you do that, whenever you come together to receive at the Lord's table or whenever you come to receive communion, you do this in remembrance of me. I find that somewhat odd. Of all of the ways that we could remember Jesus, we could remember him for his mighty miracles. After all, he turned water into wine, walked on water, calmed the storm, healed the lepers, raised the dead. Of all of the ways that we could remember the Lord, he said, "This is how I want you to remember me." When you come to take supper at the Lord's table, this is how I want you to remember me. It is a moment of reflection. So understand that first and foremost, when we get ready to receive communion, it is an opportunity for us to remember our Savior. We are instructed and commanded to think and reflect upon the Lord. Jesus is to be our focus. He is the reason for our receiving communion. He tells us, "Do this in remembrance of me." And while there are many ways that we could remember him, we could remember his immaculate birth, his incredible life, his incredible ministry. But he says, "I want you to remember my suffering and my broken body. This bread represents my broken body, which is given for you. This cup is my blood that is spilt for you." And as oft as you do this, whenever you take the time and you take the moment to separate yourself from everything else and you come into the presence of the Lord, I want you to remember the suffering I want you to remember the things that I endured on your behalf. 1 Corinthians, he tells us here in our text, when he gave thanks, he broke the bread. He broke the bread, broke it in pieces. It is a representation of his body being broken for you and I. He broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The breaking of bread is significant in communion. It was after Jesus had given thanks and broke the bread that he told them, this is my body. What he was saying was, I want you to understand, I'm giving you an allegory. I want you to understand that as I have broken this bread, my body is going to be broken on your behalf. It's going to be broken for you. And so he intends for us to understand that it is not just a broken loaf of bread, but the broken bread represents the suffering that was done on our behalf. When we take communion, we should remember the suffering of the Lord. Go back with me to Gethsemane in your mind this morning. He knows his hours upon this earth are very limited. He knows that soon he will be brutally beaten and crucified. And the Bible said that he prayed in agony. He tried to get somebody to pray with him. He said to the disciples, pray with me, lest you enter into temptation. And all they could do was fall asleep. Jesus, the Bible said that he prayed so earnestly that his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. He was under such stress and under such earnest agony as he prayed that his pores literally opened up and he sweat blood. Remember him in the garden. We should remember the unlawful arrest in the middle of the night. We should remember his unfair trial and the false accusations that were brought against him. Remember the betrayal of Judas for 30 pieces of silver, and with the kiss of a friend, he is betrayed and he falls into the hand of sinful men. All of these things. Remember Peter's denial and how the disciples all abandoned him in his hour of greatest need. No one stood with him except his Father. Remember the brutal treatment that he received at the hands of the soldiers and how he was smitten upon the face and how his beard was plucked and how they, amen, put a blindfold on him and mocked him and said, who is it that smite thee? If you're a king, tell us, amen, tell us all these things. Amen. Stop and think for a moment this morning how they beat him and pressed a crown of thorns upon his head. All of these things were being opened and broken as that bread was broken at the table. Remember the scourging, the carrying of the cross, the nailing of his hands and his feet to the cross. All of these things are a symbol of the bread, symbolic of the broken body of our Savior Jesus Christ. We should remember the blood that was spilled. Jesus says, he said, this is the cup, or this cup is the, amen, and this cup is my blood. The New Testament is going to be, I mean, I'm making a new covenant with you. God is making a new covenant with you, and what's going to seal that covenant is my very blood. We should remember that the cup that we drink is symbolic of the blood that Jesus shed. The cup is a reminder of the death. It is a symbol of the shed blood and the poured out blood that Jesus poured out of his life. Amen. There on the cross, he was executed for a crime that he did not commit. He was killed in one of the most brutal and painful methods known to man. He experienced nerve damage. His flesh was torn from his body. Nails driven into his feet, into his hands. He's there on the cross, suffocating for the lack of breath. And all of these things we are to remember when we gather at this moment. The bread and the cup are a reminder of all of this. And as we take the bread and the cup, we should remember the sacrifice and the offering that he made on our behalf. I can't help it, but I am moved when I think of that moment, how he gave himself for me. I am so unworthy. I am so unworthy. The second thing that we should remember is we should remember why he did it. Not only should we remember his suffering, but we should remember why he did it. He did it for us. There's a song or a little chorus that says, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. And Jesus paid that debt for us. He died for our sins. He died for our iniquities. Let me just tell you this morning that Jesus did not go unwillingly to the cross. The Bible said that he was like a lamb led to slaughter. He went willingly. What does that mean? It means that he laid down his life willingly for our salvation. He laid down himself. Let me just tell you, Jesus had the power to say, amen, I'm going to call 12 legion of angels and wipe the whole planet out and be delivered. But he did not do that. He went to the cross willingly. We should remember why he did that. He did that to redeem us. He did not die because he had no power to stop it. He died because he is the good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. He went to the cross with purpose, and he went there to die in our place so that our sins might be forgiven. That is why when we come to take communion, we should pause and we should examine our lives and make certain that there's no iniquity in our hearts or in our lives. As we partake of the table of the Lord, we're to remember Jesus. Remember his suffering so that we might be forgiven. So that the first thing that we are instructed to do is remember him. Remember his life, his ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Do this, he said, in remembrance of me. Secondly, the table of the Lord should be a place of celebration. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? A place of celebration. It should be a place of celebration of God's forgiveness and God's amazing grace. Thank God for the forgiveness of sin. If communion were only about remembering his suffering and the death, then that would make communion a pretty solemn and grievous time. But we need to understand that there is both a solemn side to communion and there is another side of celebration and thanksgiving. Yes, he laid down his life, and yes, he suffered, but he did so that I might go free. Thank God for the forgiveness of sin. We need to understand this morning the communion should be taken, and it should be a time of both remembrance and a time of celebrating. We were separated from God, in our sin, and Christ came to make a way for us to be redeemed and to be reunited with him. Communion is a time to be thankful for the forgiveness of God. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the remission of sins." I look back over my life, and my sins, which were many, have been placed under the blood. When the enemy comes and points his finger and says, "Look what you did," I can turn to the Lord, and the Lord says, "Dismissed, it's under the blood. Dismissed, it's under the blood. I don't remember that." The Bible said when he forgives, he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. So when we, amen, remember our iniquity, we remember, and the enemy comes and points out our faults and our failures and the places that we messed up, and we turn to the Lord, the Lord says, I don't remember any of that. All I see is the blood. How many of you know that the enemy likes to torment us with our past mistakes? The enemy likes to torment us with our past failures. When the enemy comes pointing a finger and trying to make you remember what you have failed out and where you didn't measure up, amen, point the enemy, amen, right at heaven and tell him, "Yeah, but I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." Under the old covenant, the sacrifice of animals was prescribed by the law. But in Christ, God made a new covenant with us. And Jesus Christ became the final sacrifice for sin. John the Baptist saw him coming down the banks of the Jordan River one day, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Thank God he didn't just say the sins of the world, because that would mean that he would take away some sins but not all sin. John said, "Here comes the Lamb that's going to take away the sin," plural, all of it, amen, or singular, all of it, amen. All of it's been dealt with in the sacrifice of Christ. Amen. God made a new covenant. And so communion is a time not just for remembrance, but it is a time to embrace the fact that we have been forgiven. We have been set free. It should be a time of celebration and a time of thanksgiving. Thank God for his love in sending Christ. Thank God the Son for laying down his life. And thank God the Holy Spirit for coming into our lives and washing us clean from our unrighteousness. Amen. Communion should be a time to offer thanks and celebration unto the Lord for all that he has done for us. Jesus declared in John chapter 6 and verse 35, "I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me," Jesus said, "I will in no wise cast out. All that come to me, I will in no wise cast away." If you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, it is because that Jesus invited you to come. God the Father has graciously drawn you to himself and asked you and wooed you by his Holy Spirit to sit down at the table with his Son. Amen. It is not because of anything righteous or good that we have done, but it is a gift of a gracious and loving God that we have been invited to the table of the Lord. So, salvation come at a price. And communion is a moment to stop and recognize that price and rejoice in that salvation. The third thing that I want to point out to you this morning is that communion is a time or a place of Christian fellowship. A time for Christian fellowship. I want you to understand that Christian fellowship has two dimensions. What I will call the vertical and the horizontal. Stay with me for a moment. Christian fellowship has what I will call the vertical and the horizontal. First, there is the vertical dimension. When we receive communion, we are having fellowship with God. It's us communing with the Lord. There's a reason why we actually eat the bread and drink the cup of communion. If the Lord's Supper was just a time to remember and a time to celebrate God's forgiveness, we wouldn't have to eat or drink. We could just simply set it in front of us as a reminder. We wouldn't have to, amen, partake of the bread. We wouldn't have to partake of the cup. But the instructions that Jesus gives us, he tells us to eat and to drink. Why? Because when we ingest, symbolically, we are ingesting his life. Just as natural food or drink satisfies the physical hunger, he satisfies the spiritual hunger of our heart. So when we come and we have communion, we are having fellowship with God. We are communing with the Lord. We are breaking bread with the Lord. We are entering into his sacrifice. Amen. Our flesh has been crucified and put away, and we have been raised to walk in newness of life. And when we come and have communion, we are fellowshipping with God, the Father, through the Son. We get our spiritual life from him. Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good." Psalms 105 said, "For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, and his truth endures to all generations." 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2 said, "Desire God's pure word as newborn babes, desire milk, and then you will grow." He said, "Certainly you have tasted that the Lord is good." But he's saying that not physically tasting, but experiencing his fellowship, tasting his presence in our life. Amen. Fellowshipping with him. I believe the Bible teaches that the memorial presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper, and that Christ is present among us in a very special way as we share the Lord's Supper with him. Yes, the bread remains the bread. The grape juice remains the grape juice. But it is what it symbolizes that feeds the soul. There is also a horizontal dimension when we share in communion. What do you mean, Pastor Gary, a horizontal fellowship? I'm talking about, amen, a fellowship with one another. Because yes, we commune with him and we have fellowship with him. But let me just tell you, there's something special that takes place when we all take together. Let me give you some scripture to help explain what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 7. Paul said, "Because there is one loaf." There is one loaf of bread. "We who are many are one body." We are one body. We talk about family around here at the church, being a family, being a spiritual family. We are all one body. We are all one body. "For we have all been partakers of that one loaf." What is he saying? He's saying that when we partake of communion, it unites us in a common fellowship with the Lord. So yes, we are to remember all of the things that he gave and all of the things that he sacrificed. And yet, we are to celebrate, amen, our salvation and glorify the Lord for all that he has done. Amen. But when we come to the communion table, we should recognize as well that we are having fellowship with God and we are having fellowship with one another in him. We are all citizens of one nation. We are all under one covering and of the same household. Hallelujah. Come to the table for a time of remembrance. Come for a time of celebration. Come for a time of fellowship. And finally, the fourth thing that I would like to point out to you about coming to the table of the Lord is that we should come anticipating his return. We should come anticipating his return. When Jesus shared the Last Supper with the disciples, he told them in Luke's gospel, chapter 22 and verse number 18, he said, I tell you that I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. When Jesus arrived in his ministry, he began to proclaim God's kingdom. In a sense, the kingdom of God came when Jesus was born. And that the advancement of that kingdom continues through the church and through the spirit-filled believers of this world as the church marches forward advancing the kingdom of God. But let me just tell you this morning, the kingdom will not fully come until Jesus Christ comes again. The kingdom will not come in its fullness until Christ returns and makes all things right. 1 Corinthians 11:26 in our text, he says, whenever you eat this broken bread and whenever you drink of this cup, he said, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we understand that the Last Supper, or the supper of the Lord, when we gather to take of communion, it brings us to a place where we should anticipate his coming. It has historical meaning. It has present meaning. It has futuristic meaning. When we come and we take communion, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. We are looking forward to the time that Christ will return. I want you to turn over with me to, if you still have your Bible open, I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. So understand that 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 26 says, when we partake of communion, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We read over that and we may not even understand literally what it means, but I want you to understand that communion is a time of remembrance. It is a time of celebration. It is a time of fellowship. It is a time for us to anticipate the coming of the Lord. But this last line in 1 Corinthians 11:26, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I want to deal with that for just a moment. What happened? What happened in the realm of the spirit when Jesus died? What Paul is saying there in 1 Corinthians 26 is every time that you come to partake of communion, Every time you set the time aside to observe the supper, every time that you come to the table of the Lord, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. What he's saying is you are preaching a message to the world and to the demonic spirits of hell. You are proclaiming to them the fact that they have been defeated. How do you know that, Pastor Gary? Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Because this is what happened at the Lord's death. When the Lord died upon the cross for us, this is what happened in the realm of the Spirit. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 13, it says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." What does that mean? It means that the old covenant that held us bound by the legal laws of the Old Testament were nailed to the cross of Christ. Amen. And they are no longer in effect because he fulfilled them. And then here's what happened when all of that took place. Verse 14, having spoiled principalities and powers. Oh, hallelujah. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. What does that mean, Brother Gary? Amen. Here's what he's saying. He's saying that the moment that Jesus was crucified and the moment that he died, he spoiled principalities and powers, and he ruined the enemy. He put him to an open shame and defeated him. And every time that we come to the table of the Lord and we get ready to receive communion, we are proclaiming to the enemy that you have been defeated, and you are under my feet by the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So whenever we receive communion, yes, we have been instructed to do this in remembrance of him. Yes, we have been instructed to come and to remember his suffering, celebrate our salvation, enjoy our fellowship with both God and with the body, to anticipate his return. How many of you know he's coming again? Hallelujah. But it is also an opportunity for us, empowered by the covenant that God made with us through Christ, to look all of hell right in the eye and tell the devil, you have no right to be here. You have no right to be here. You were defeated at Calvary, and bless God, I'm not going to let you have the victory because Christ already defeated you. And in him I live and move and have my being. There's an old song used to sing in the church when I was growing up. The song said, "Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who healed the multitude and turned the water into wine. To the hungry he calls, come and dine." Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Jesus. Come to the table of the Lord. Come remembering his suffering. Come celebrating the salvation that he provided. Come searching for the fellowship of the Lord and the body. Come anticipating his glorious return. Come proclaiming to the enemy that you have been defeated. And because he lives, I will live an abundant life also. Bow your heads here in the house of the Lord.